This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you Friday, February 19th, or waking up on Saturday the 20th. Glad you're catching the replay here on WGCL. Flying solo for a little bit in just a short while. Skip Chambers and Michael Carter, the founders of the Bloomington / Monroe County History Club, are going to be joining me here in the studio. It's the third anniversary of the Monroe County History Club, and Skip and Michael have some fun stuff to share, I am sure. And if you've never been to one of these meetings, take advantage of it. Next Tuesday, the 23rd, at the American Legion on the west side of town. Starts at 12 noon. You can get lunch at the American Legion, and then the program begins at about 12:30. Typically, they run 60 to 90 minutes, give or take a little bit, but a lot of people come in, have to leave for work or whatever. So if you have the opportunity to check it out next Tuesday, the Monroe County History Club would love to see you. And we'll put all of their information on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. And we will also put it up at WGCLradio.com on the Bloomington Review page as well. If you're catching us on Friday night, oh my goodness, we got high school boys basketball going on, and Joe Smith will be having Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock. Perry Meridian is coming down to Bloomington High School South, and it should be a pretty fun game, and plus it is senior night at South as well, so I'm sure that a lot of people in the community will be attending that game. And then if you're catching us Saturday morning, Your Money with David Hayes is immediately to follow as well. Hopefully the weather that started off crazy at the beginning of the week has warmed up enough for most people that are tuning in. I know that a lot of people are anxious for spring, and it's not too far away. But by the same token, you know, a little snow day every now and again isn't so bad. And I know that schools were canceled on Monday for the weather that we had. It was President's Day, so some schools were in session, some were not. Regardless, I'm still the guy who likes cold weather, snow, bring it on. So I kind of enjoyed it for a couple more days. And it's Indiana. You know that there's always going to be some kind of crazy weather the week of high school boys basketball sectionals. It just seems to be part of the master plan. So I don't think it's done yet. I still think we're going to have another round or two of a little bit more white stuff, if you will. Seems like a couple of years back it even snowed on Easter. So we'll see what's going on with all of that. Thanks again to Jason Blitzinger, who was on last week, and I apologize for the delay in getting the podcast page up on that. I had a little bit of a snafu, but I think I've got that all worked out now. So you can find that at WGCLradio.com. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't know. Kind of flying solo. It's been a little bit of a hectic week, and I'm hoping that next week we'll have a much calmer experience, if you will, and things get a little bit back to normal. With that, we're going to take a break, come back, we'll get into news. The mayor, our new mayor of Bloomington, had his State of the City address earlier this week. We'll talk about that. Also, there's an I-69 closing that's going to impact a lot of Bloomington residents, so we'll give you some of the details there and talk about a few other things. And then, as I mentioned, Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club will be joining me later to talk about the group, the history behind it, what's coming up, how you can get involved, all of that good stuff. So plenty of action here for the next hour. Stay with me. We're going to have a good time here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you with your forecast for the evening. Friday night, tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 41. Saturday, sunny with a high near 61, much different than it was last weekend. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain, partly cloudy with a low around 40. And then on Sunday, a 30% chance of rain, partly sunny with a high near 56. Of course, all your weather, all the time right here on WGCL Radio and WGCLradio.com. On Tuesday this week, Mayor John Hamilton addressed the Bloomington community in the city of, or the State of the City address, excuse me. And while Bloomington can point to several successes, it also faces a number of challenges, according to the new mayor, and several opportunities to address those challenges and move forward in coming years. According to the Herald Times, the mayor described himself as an optimist in that there are many positive things in the community, but he said also that it can be challenging to stay optimistic when there are a lot of negative things that come across on the national and international scenes as well. He talked a lot about a, quote, litany of indicators of excellence, end quote, in the Bloomington community, including being a bike-friendly city, a perfect score by the Human Rights Campaign's Municipal Equality Index, leadership in reproductive health and women's rights issues, increased trail miles, and the ever-growing use of Bloomington Transit, which at the end of last year set new ridership records across the board. Now, Mayor Hamilton highlighted six challenges, though, that he has seen in his first weeks as the mayor of Bloomington, including the city economy, crime rate, public infrastructure, basic city operations, addressing a lack of training for city employees, and the upcoming changes to public education in our community and across the state as well. The mayor said the city's future depends on the community generating sufficient jobs, wages, wealth, and assets for, quote, us to share in the quality of life we seek together, and that the city must both help existing local businesses to prosper and encourage new companies to form. Now, one of the things that Hamilton spoke about that he is for is repeatedly advocating for a citywide, community-controlled broadband internet access. The mayor said he's had conversations with experts and city providers and have already looked into some opportunities, then including three steps that the city has taken: a partnership with CTC Technology and Energy, which is a national firm that will assist city officials as they move forward with the project. He's also reached out to Digital Bloomington Symposium that the city is co-hosting in collaboration with IU on March 1st, as well as efforts to release a request for information within 6 weeks seeking potential partners in the creation of a digital infrastructure. The mayor spoke at the Buskirk Chumley Theater downtown on Tuesday this week, and I think we've got some things to work on, but excited to see what he is going to be bringing to the table. A needle exchange program began in Monroe County earlier this week, and the Indiana Recovery Alliance has distributed more than 900 clean syringes in Monroe County since its needle exchange program began on Valentine's Day. The initial response was slower than expected due to Sunday's snowstorm, according to Chris Abbert, who is the project coordinator for the Indiana Recovery Alliance. Between the IRA office at 500 West 4th Street and the nonprofit's mobile unit, volunteers distributed six opioid overdose reversing naloxone, if I'm pronouncing that right, kits. Those are administered, and they also administered three HIV tests, referred five individuals to additional service agencies, and signed up 10 active drug users for the needle exchange during its Sunday and Monday operating hours. One individual also returned used needles to the IRA for proper disposal. The volunteers that are needed for this program will staff the office on Tuesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to noon. The IRA van will be parked in front of People's Park on Kirkwood Avenue on Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. And they have additional information on their website and Facebook page, Indiana Recovery Alliance. So check that out. I mentioned an I-69 closing in the last segment. The I-69 Development Partners team has announced the closure of Arlington Road for bridge improvements. Now, Arlington Road will be closed from Hunter Lane to Prow Road on or after Saturday, February 20th. So if you're catching this Saturday, it could be happening as we speak. Traffic is going to be detoured via State Road 46, Kinzer Pike, and 17th Street during the construction period and open to local traffic only. As I mentioned, starting on February 20th and is planning to remain, Arlington Road will plan to remain closed through the end of June at the earliest. So if you have family or if you live out on Arlington Road, you're going to have to look for some alternate routes very, very soon. Three local women will be honored in March for their outstanding service in the Bloomington community. Two women, Jean Kapler, who was named the Woman of the Year, and Flo Davis, who will receive the Lifetime Contribution Award, will be honored during the March 23rd Women's History Month Luncheon. This will take place at the Convention Center, and tickets are available through the Buskirk Chumley office. The third honoree, Laura Ingram, has been chosen to receive the Emerging Leader of the Year Award, and she will be recognized on March 10th at City Council Chambers in City Hall by the Women's Leadership Development Event. All three recipients were selected by members of the Women of the Year Subcommittee of the City of Bloomington Commission on the Status of Women. Jean Kapler, a friend of mine, is an advocate for equality for the LGBTQ community and a co-founder of Fair Talk, Davis is being recognized for a 40-year career as a nurse and nurse practitioner who has contributed to the health of women through her work at Planned Parenthood, as well as in private practice, and as a nursing instructor at Ivy Tech. And Ingram is the Youth Program Director for Bloomington Pride's PRISM Youth Community and was named the Youth Worker of the Year by the Indiana Youth Institute for her work with the GLBT young people. So congratulations to those three ladies on their awards. And finally, did you see the news from Indiana University about picking up a little piece of history? It's the ultimate addition to the man cave, or to the Hoosier fans collection. 24 of these items are going to be available. They're going to the highest bidders. Turnstiles. Turnstiles, the things you walk through when you go into the IU basketball games and Assembly Hall. They've been marking attendance for more than four decades, and they are going to be auctioned through the Indiana University surplus stores starting this month. Bids begin at $500. Proceeds will go to the surplus stores as well as IU Athletics Department. According to the manufacturer, it looks like the IU models were made around 1947, and they were first used to count attendance at football games at Memorial Stadium. The red and chrome turnstiles were then moved to Assembly Hall when it opened in 1971 and remained at the Fieldhouse until 2014. I have a feeling that a certain bar/restaurant on Kirkwood by the name of Nick's will be definitely considering a bid for that, because what kind of piece of history like that? It has to be at Nick's. Let's just be honest. They've got to get one of those. So if you get one, I would love to know about it. I may put a bid in. I don't think I'm going to go too wild and crazy with the money, but by the same token, it is a little piece of history, and why not? We're going to take a break, come back. Speaking of history, Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club will be joining me in just a couple minutes talking about their third anniversary, and maybe we'll ask them if they're going to bid on any of these turnstiles. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, and our repeat guest. I started to say repeat offenders, but I don't think you're quite like that.
That works.
You wouldn't categorize yourself as an offender, would you, Michael?
No, but you could call us the usual suspect.
Yeah. Okay, that'll work.
Partners in crime. That'll work.
It all works. Yeah. Skip Chambers, Michael Carter, the founders of the Monroe County History Club, are in the studio with us tonight. And how you guys been? You're surviving the winter. You getting through things okay?
Well, this winter has been pretty mild. Even though I don't like winter, but it's been milder than anyone for quite a while, hasn't it?
It has to me.
Yeah. So.
It has.
It's been good. It's been a great ride for our history club, and it's a big part of our lives. And so it's been a good winter or summer. Doesn't matter. Yep. We're having some fun.
This is the third year. Are we starting our third year in this month? Is that right, of the Monroe County History Club?
Yeah, this would be our third anniversary. And I know I've said this before, but I should mention we met first in a small room at the library 3 years ago this month. And it was just six of us, me, Skip, George Carpenter, Donna Stogstall, Shelby Kaiser, and Sarah Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
And then all we did was just talk amongst ourselves.
Sure.
So then we migrated to the Legion, and it kind of took on a life of its own from there.
And January's meeting, how big of a group did you have?
Our biggest.
What's your biggest in the last few
it's
months?
The big. It, we counted 75.
Great.
Yeah. Our biggest. Our previous. We had two, but the Bob Hamill one had 70. And the Jim Murphy one had about 70.
Yeah,
so those three are our biggest ones. So.
Yeah, and people kind of come and go as the thing goes on, and so sometimes you don't get the accurate count, but it's usually it's close to 80, and it just keeps growing, and a lot of interest. So
let's talk a little bit about the third anniversary first of all. This is coming up next week. Is that right? Your
next
meeting
Tuesday,
is the birthday cake celebration.
23rd.
And. Tell the listeners, because we've talked about it before, but just remind them, when do you guys meet? When is this public gathering?
Well, it's the last Tuesday of every single month, and it's always at 12 p.m. at the American Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked that Tuesday and that time for a reason, and it's, everybody seems to get there when they can, and so it's always the last Tuesday of every month at 12 p.m.
Okay, out on the west side.
Yeah. And the actual program usually doesn't start till around 12:30.
That's correct.
Which gives people a chance to have lunch.
Sure.
And So it's usually around 12:30, and it'll last an hour and a half. And so, you know, most people are out of there by 2 p.m. anyway.
Good. What's going on next week for February?
Well, I've got it written down here.
Okay.
Luck might have it.
In case you thought you might be asked.
Yes.
It's a fellow named Duncan Campbell, who's a local historian, that Derek had found out about. I didn't know Duncan, but he came to our last meeting, and we got to talk to him. And he does a lot of different things. In fact, he's going to do one for Bloomington Restorations. Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, yes.
On stone mills, but we'd already done one of those recently, so I asked him what else he had. Mm-hmm. And he had one on historic barns. So he calls it a reflection of settlement origins, agricultural traditions, and cross-cultural influences, story of early settlement and migration into Indiana, as well as changes in agricultural practice. And anyway, there's a plethora of different barns, of course, in a place
sure.
like Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this guy's a real expert on them. And for the people I've talked to that have seen this before, it's really good.
So good.
We're looking forward to it.
So that's next Tuesday, the 23rd.
23rd, yes.
23rd noon. Mm-hmm. We'll put all this information up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also on our podcast website at WGCLradio.com. Mm-hmm. But last Tuesday of every month, tell me a little bit about what's coming up. Because I know that you've got the third anniversary next week, but I've seen on Facebook you've got some pretty cool things lined up for the next
through May. You want to tell them about the next one, or you want me to just tell
you
them?
Can. Yeah.
Well, in March, it's going to be Skip.
Okay.
And me and Derek.
Uh-huh.
Doing a lot of the photographs that we're still scanning down at the HT.
And we're talking about Derek Ritchie, who was
Derek
on the
Ritchie,
show a few months,
say.
A few weeks ago,
right.
and was talking about this HT photography project. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what we do is we go down there, and Skip's done a lot of this too. He just hadn't been able to do it here lately.
Mm-hmm.
But downstairs in their archives, they just have boxes of these old negatives, just by date, no explanation of what they are or anything. And so mm-hmm. we go through them with a backlit light and try to identify them as much as we can and then scan them, the ones that look interesting. And so we probably just do about one out of every 20 we find because they're just gobs of them.
Yeah.
So, but each day we walk around, which is, we do it once a week on Thursday. We usually walk away with at least 30 we've scanned. So we're going to pick some of the best ones of the last mm-hmm. few months and maybe even go back to one of the first, some of the first ones we did because it was quite a while back and show those. And then Skip's going to show some things he found at the First Methodist Church.
Yes, I got access to the archives at the First United Methodist Church, and they gave me a copy of when the church burnt in 1937 and a lot of old photos after the church had burned and the damage, and we're going to share that video. And so it's a...
Now, when you say video, are you talking actual video, or are you talking old 35-millimeter camera type stuff?
It's 8-millimeter video.
8-millimeter.
Home video a bystander took, and...
Is it color?
It's 2 or 3 minutes. I can't really tell. It's kind of
one of those faded. That
faded,
it,
yeah. And it's like I say, it's not very long, but it shows a lot of interesting things, and it's short, but it's sweet. It's just really, really interesting, and how close people were to the church when it was burning, and
mm-hmm.
you know, which probably wouldn't happen today, obviously. But there's a lot of interesting stuff in there, so.
Okay. That's great. You got access to
that'll
that.
Be, that'll be part of that, too.
So that's March and April and May?
April. Well, and then April is Steve Rolfe, and he's head of the Civil War Roundtable here in town. Another distinguished historian, and he's going to talk about, as I understand it, the Civil War as it related to Monroe County locally. He's going to have probably a lot of visuals and then some letters
mm-hmm.
To read and things like that. This is another guy who's done this a few times, and it's supposed to really be good. And then that takes us to May, and I just recently got a hold of Kathy Meyer. She's with Parks and Rec, but she had done a program a while back, and this one's really unusual, about the relocating of the various graveyards and cemeteries to make way for the coming of Lake Monroe in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Mm. So, and I've heard this is really great. I've never seen it, but it's just really different, so I think people... would have some interest. A lot of people would have some relatives probably.
Oh, yeah.
There.
That'll be very interesting.
I am one of them. There my dad, go. Years ago, went to IU to, the, I guess it would be the Geological Services or something like that, and they had a lot of aerial photography of the land before Lake Monroe filled in. And he found my great-grandparents' property, and you could see the path. He knew all this stuff, but it went to the chicken coop, and knew how to get down and around to the road and everything. And somebody in the family still has a piece of the land that they own, but you can't access it unless you take a boat out to it. I've never been out there, but
interesting.
Yeah, we still there's still some Inman property mixed in out at Lake Monroe. So
yeah, you know, that draws a big interest because not only the people that have family there, but the people that, like, maybe some younger people that don't know a lot of history of the lake, you know, if they come, they'll learn a lot about, you know, what happened, when it took place, and how many years in the making. And so, you mm-hmm. know, to me, that's a big part of the county, obviously. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know in 3 years, this group has grown and evolved and everything, and you guys are have an opportunity now to, like, start doing some video recording as well with these meetings. Is that what I understood?
Yeah. We had a suggestion by one of our presenters that we should contact CATS TV, you know, what's it, Community Access Television Service.
Mm-hmm.
And asked them if they would do a show, and I had never even thought about it. But I went down there and asked them, and they said, well, we might. And they originally did our November show with Jim Murphy, and it just turned out great. They record it there, and then they show it later, usually about a month later. Mm-hmm. You don't see these things right away, but
right.
about a month later. And then they also showed Derek Ritchie's December program and Clay Stuckey's January program. So that brings us up to date. And they've led me to believe they're going to be there every month, it looks like. Martin O'Neill is the program director. And so many thanks to him.
Great.
For helping us out.
So people who can't attend during the workday can check out television and follow along. And we'll talk more about that in the next segment about mm-hmm. Facebook and how people find the information and
sure.
all that stuff. Let's take a break. Come back. I want to see if you guys have pooled your money for turnstiles yet. So we'll talk about that and much more. Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here along with Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. They meet on the last Tuesday of every month, and next week is the third anniversary. Cake involved or anything like that? I think there was last year.
Well, 2 years ago there was.
There was, yeah.
For the first?
We're hoping for a big cake, you okay. know, like about the size of an 8-foot table. That's what we're...
Yeah. Man.
That's what we're hoping for.
Or at least a big cookie or something.
Dreaming big.
Cookie, chocolate chip cookie, it's good.
Okay.
We're good, yeah.
Tell our listeners, and we've talked about this in the past, this kind of grew, which came first, the Facebook groups or the Monroe County History Club?
Well, I tell you, Barb Sowers Sykes, which created the I Remember Bloomington page, in my opinion, if that hadn't started, me and Michael probably would have not met. So,
Derek,
any of them. Yeah. So, you know, all that evolved from there. And so she started that page, and then, of course, me and Mike crossed paths.
Sure.
So that's how, to me, it all got started there.
Sure.
The History Club and all these people that are involved in it. So,
and that was a formation of anybody who had a connection to Bloomington. Join in on social media, put pictures up of things you've got in a photo album. I mean, just any kind of connection to town.
It started out with like maybe 40, 50 people.
Yeah.
Now it's up to almost 6,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
growing.
The information that's put out there is just amazing. There's a lot of people that know a lot of stuff. But it's true that this would never be going on.
Yeah, and when we add people, you know, we add people, and all of a sudden they say, hey, I've got a picture of the A&W on 10th and Collar, whatever, you know, and all of a sudden they put it up, and that's something nobody would have ever seen unless we got, you know, added them to the page.
Right.
One of the administrators, so.
Right.
It's just really...
And plus,
really
when you have these meetings, you've got a lot of people who have a history in town. And actually, one of your key members just passed away who was really instrumental in getting the group up and running and sharing stories.
Yeah, you know, Bill Sturbaum, we actually lived out on West 3rd, a few houses from his family, and wonderful family. And, you know, he did a presentation about Prospect Hill for us, and which he was obviously a big part of. And you know, was a big part of our club, and everybody enjoyed having him there, and it was a sad day for us.
Sure.
So, but
I was a
lot of good contribution to us.
I was, he came to BHS, the old BHS, in 1963 as a world lit teacher, and I was in his first class along with a lot of the guys that go to our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And He's just a, you know, a great guy. And the fact that he started coming to our meetings was just wonderful. He loved them. And then the fact that we've got him to do that presentation when he probably didn't really feel that well, September 29th
yeah.
is when it was.
Yeah.
And I think he passed away in November. So, but he meant a lot to the club. So.
Yeah, and his presentation, a lot of people learned a lot of things about Prospect Hill, how it evolved. And he had all the information. It was just, even though I lived there, it was amazing to hear the stories.
Oh, and you know how everybody calls him Bill, like you guys.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a teacher?
Yes.
And you can't call him Bill. So right. None of the guys I went to school with, it's always Mr. Sturbaum. Mm-hmm. You just can't call him their first name.
I saw my first grade teacher 2 weekends ago, and Jane Perry, and I cannot call her Jane. I said, you are still Mrs. Perry, and I am 40 right. years old, and I can't do it. She said, you can call me Jane now. I said, nope, I can't do it.
Can't do it.
Cannot do it.
Same That's thing funny. If you had a coach. You
right.
know, when you're an athlete, you're oh, yeah. always coach.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah. I asked Derek this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to throw it to you guys, too. Over 3 years' time, I'm sure you've heard all kinds of things and seen and all that stuff. What are you still looking for? I mean, are there things that kind of sit in the back of your mind, like, man, I wish we had this, or... anything like that. Is there something you guys are looking for or want to talk about in the future and trying to find somebody to talk about it?
Yeah, we got some ideas, quite a few really, but one of them we've got on the burner is the history of the old Bloomington High School.
Okay.
And Clay Stuckey's done his part, and so it's up to George Carpenter and I to complete it. We've been kind of dragging our feet, but at one point we will give that. That's something that would be very popular, I think. Everybody back in the day went through the old BHS.
Burned in 65?
Yep. No, 67.
67. 67, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, I just sent the hospital an email the other day to see if they have somebody that could give a history of the hospital.
Yeah. The man who could passed away a few months ago, yes. Bud Kaur.
Yes. I saw that.
Wonderful, yeah. wonderful man.
So I'm hoping they get, they get back to me. I've also, the police department history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which your family...
I can give you some, and probably stuff that I probably shouldn't share. Yeah. So I'll just watch and listen on that one.
The history of the fire department. Mm-hmm. I think there are people out there that might be able to do that. And
we've also
always been interested in the downtown square, mm-hmm. like just a flat out history of the downtown square from the middle 1800s on.
I mean, yeah.
we just haven't done that.
Yet. Round in the square, the right person, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's lots of other things.
Let me throw one to you. What about the old grocery stores? I know David Hayes has been there and talked about Hayes Market and the Hayes ham salad and all that good stuff. But, you know, there's some other – I mean, Skip, you've got a great connection with that, obviously. Okay. So what about – are there any people who – like, I know Bud Ferris has passed away, mm-hmm. but are there still any of those folks from that generation, so to speak, that were involved in grocery still around?
Well, needless to say, there was, you know, a ton of grocery stores, you know, home grocery stores, you know, in the neighborhood. And, you know, several of them have passed away, unfortunately. But, you know, obviously that's a big subject.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people know the stores that was on their corner, the Livingston's Market or Ferris or Hayes or Brakefield's. But we haven't, I think that would be a good program. I think that's a great idea, and I could be a big help in that. Not that I was involved with them, but I think I could do it.
You're the man.
Oh, you could. You absolutely could.
There was literally a mom and pop grocery store on almost every
major. Yeah, I don't have pictures of all of them. I got a lot of advertisements, addresses,
right?
Which, you know, would be a good part of the show.
Oh, absolutely.
And everybody would chime in.
Absolutely.
Hey, you remember that place over there? You know, see. So that,
or if you can make Hayes ham salad again, and I know you know the recipe, Skip.
Yeah, we'll
going
just bring
way
that
back,
to the meeting.
You know, to the 50s, people were just within walking distance of these places.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You walk there, your mom sent you there, get something, come back.
Oh, at Hayes Market, the people came there every day. They come there and they get 2 pork chops. The next day, they get a cube steak. Mm-hmm. The next day, they'd get the ham salad. It was an everyday occurrence.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
And see, I think that was a way for my paternal grandparents, my mom's parents and family. They lived out towards Owen County. They would drive. It was a weekly event on Friday night. My grandfather would get paid, and they would go to town, and they'd go to Hayes, and they'd go around the square, and Tamale Joe, and all that good kind of stuff.
Yeah, hot Tamale Joe,
That was an experience.
Well, that's where it was all evolved around. That's where it was at. I mean, you didn't have all these outskirt places, you know.
Nope, they weren't here yet, were they?
Yeah, everything was right there. You know, you could get everything you wanted up on the square or close to it.
That's a time long gone, but an interesting time.
Unfortunately, I don't think that would actually come back, but it'd be nice, like, but that, I don't think it could like that. Yeah,
it's you don't, I mean, no offense to anybody working in the grocery business these days, but you don't have the family vibe, so to speak, when you get a cut of meat or go get anything. I mean, it's just not quite the same as it used to be, but the world changes. I understand all
or the
that.
Quick, you know, the creaky wood floor when you walk in.
Oh yeah,
the musty smell of the grocery stores, that's gone. Yep,
it was a different time for
but
sure.
A good subject.
Okay,
yeah,
that's a good idea.
So but anything else, I mean, are photographs or films, things like that, do people bring that stuff to these meetings? How, if people want to share something that they've got, how do they reach out to you guys? How do they find you for more information?
Well, we do have our Yahoo account, the Monroe County History Club at yahoo.com. They can always contact us that way. And, you know, they can, if they're members of I Remember Bloomington, they can post things there at any time.
Mm-hmm. Or send us a private message if they got something they want to share and they can't share it, or, you know, aren't able to it, we can take, you know, help them with that.
Yeah, and I would just encourage people, since we're talking about this, if they have ideas for future meetings, contact us.
Yes.
Let us know. I mean, I don't know that we'll be able to use all of them, but, you know,
the ideas are definitely
challenge
appreciated.
Every month, you know,
sure.
So the more we could get
yeah.
for the future, the better.
Well, we'll put the email address, we'll put the Facebook groups, all of that stuff again on our Facebook page, the Bloomington Review, and then WGCLradio.com as well. But again, the next meeting, the third anniversary, next Tuesday,
February the 23rd. Yes.
Getting my days mixed up here. 12 noon, American Legion, out on the west side of town, West 3rd Street.
Yeah.
Don't make the illegal U-turn. They're at 3rd and Landmark.
That's true. Yeah.
Michael might have done that. I got a weird look from you there for a second.
Oh, so. never.
I do make one up at Quarry Lane.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's legal, though.
Yeah, I don't know, because
they got an extra lane for that. I mean, it's over there.
When you're coming east through that intersection and there's a car that suddenly comes over the hill, you're like, wait, no. I'm getting my directions flip-flopped. Yeah. Anyway. And then there was one thing else I was going to... Oh, the turnstiles. Are you guys going to bid on the IU turnstiles from Assembly Hall?
Mr. Moneybags over here probably will.
Oh, sure. I'm going to buy them all. Well, there's only 24. I think they'll go quick and may never see them.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows how they'll
see a glimpse of one of them.
Is there something that both of you guys, if there would be one tangible thing from the past that you would like to hold in your hand or have, anything related to Bloomington, what would it be? I mean, it could be big or small, but... I know David has talked repeatedly, David Hayes, about having the Hayes Market sign in his basement.
Sure.
Is there something, man, you wish you could have from way back when?
Well, something off the old VHS would be neat, you know.
Yeah.
Like a piece of the old Wing Victory statue that was part of our growing up that we've never, it's buried somewhere around here.
Huh.
Off of Patterson Drive, we're told. But it'd be neat to get a piece of that. To keep on your mantle.
Absolutely. Oh, by all means.
Skip, anything you know, on your wish list?
My sister worked at the A&W on 10th and College, and I'd love to have one of those trays they hooked on your windshield, on your window, with the thing on it and the mugs on it with the frosted. That's what I'd like to have.
Frosted
root beer, yeah.
Not bad at all.
I'd take that in a heartbeat.
Somebody's probably – I'm still kicking myself. I wish I had contacted the realtor, somebody in the family. I should have gotten a Wee Willie's menu when they shut down last year.
Yeah.
For the number of breakfasts that I had every Saturday morning with David Hayes before your money, I got one menu should have
my
come
mom was
my
a
way.
Big regular, too.
Was she?
Oh, yeah. Yes. She was there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the owners still have one.
I don't know. I may have to do a little digging on that one. That would be a fun item to have for sure. So.
Yeah, that building's going to be gone very soon. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, again, Skip Chambers, Michael Carter, next Tuesday, go see the boys out at Landmark at the American Legion, 12 noon. History Club. And again, what's the topic, Michael, next Tuesday?
It's going to be Duncan Campbell. He's going to talk about historic barns of Indiana.
Wonderful.
And it's a little bit different topic. I think people will like it.
Yeah.
Good.
A lot of interest there. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Much
Thank
appreciated.
You.
Hey,
you're welcome.
Glad for all your support. And this is our fifth interview.
You're becoming regulars.
Yeah. Shout out to Jim Inman Jr. Yes, sir.
Your support for, you know, local history
Yeah,
we absolutely. Happy to do it.
You're keeping it alive. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it. We're going to take a break. Come back with some sports. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Not much time left in the program, so let's get you some sports highlights here on the show. Of course, tonight, Friday night, Perry Meridian is coming down to Bloomington High School South. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock with Joe Smith. It is senior night down at Bloomington South, so good game and hopefully a victory here for the South Panthers coming up in just a little bit. IU men's basketball, the Hoosiers played on Wednesday evening against Nebraska. Next big game is Purdue when they come to town tomorrow, Saturday the 20th. 8:30 for the tip there. And then the Hoosiers have a couple of games on the road. They're headed out to Illinois on February 25th and then Iowa on March 1st. I mentioned also last week talking about IU baseball, and with the weather, Skip and Michael and I talked about this in the break, but with the weather warming up so much, it's kind of amazing that we're already talking about baseball. But the first pitch for the IU Hoosiers is actually taking place today, the 19th, at Middle Tennessee. They are not playing in Bloomington, however, until March 11th when Western Carolina comes up. So hopefully the snow, the ice, the cold, all of that good stuff will melt, and we'll get some Hoosier action out on the north side of town and up on campus. And then again, if you go to WGCLradio.com, you'll see that opening day for the major league teams is on April 3rd, and that is a Sunday. And then, of course, we are your home for Reds coverage right here on WGCL Radio. Their first game of the season is Monday, April 4th. So all of the schedule is available at WGCLradio.com. I think the Super Bowl discussions have all died out and everything, and no real additional comments, if you will. Keith and Glass, I heard the other day talking about Peyton Manning and this resurgence, I guess you would call it, of an accusation that took place when he was a player and student in Tennessee. I don't know enough about it to even wager a guess kind of thing. I think Glass put it pretty professional, if you will, and said, you know, there's probably a little bit of truth on both sides, and what falls in the middle is how it all shakes out. So we're not going to go down that road at all with Peyton Manning or anything like that. And you can have your own opinion, just like everybody else does. The Lady Hoosiers basketball team has enjoyed a nice winning streak over the last couple of weeks. Right now, they're 9-5 in the conference and a four-game win streak. They're 17-9 overall. Their next game comes up on, where is my schedule? Where did it go? That's January. That is February. They're playing Iowa on the 21st, 3 p.m. game there out in Iowa. And then they're off to Nebraska as well on the 24th. And then back in Bloomington playing Penn State on the 27th. So Lady Hoosiers are showing some nice stuff as well this season. And haven't heard much on football since we had the picks and everything like that a couple of weeks ago. But won't be long before we'll start seeing some spring training and things like that with the Hoosiers as well. We're going to take a break because we're running a little bit short. When we come back, a couple more news bits for you, and then we'll wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you, and just a few minutes left in the program. Thanks again to Skip Chambers and Michael Carter for coming in. Good guys. Lots of good fun information that they bring here to the program. And again, next Tuesday, the 23rd, at the American Legion out on West 3rd Street. Head out to the Monroe County History Club. It starts at noon, and then the program begins at 12:30. So you can come out, grab lunch at 12 o'clock, listen to the program, usually 60, 90 minutes, depending on the talk, the Q&A, and all of that good stuff. Good information. If you are curious about Bloomington and the history, they bring something every month to the table that is just really solid. And the discussion this month about the historic barns of Bloomington and Monroe County should be a lot of fun and one to enjoy. Again, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Like us over there. Follow us. Check us out. We post some random stuff periodically and all of that fun things. And then also WGCLradio.com. You can catch up on our podcast and past shows, as well as stream our live audio and listen to not just the Bloomington Review, but Your Money with David Hayes, In the Zone, Glass in the Morning. All of that stuff is available for you over at WGCLradio.com. Your forecast for the weekend: Friday night tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 41. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 61. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain, partly cloudy, a low around 40. And then on Sunday, 30% chance of rain, partly sunny with a high near 56. The highs next week look to be in the mid-40s, so no chance of the white stuff most likely early on in the week, but I'm still a betting man to say there's a little bit more white stuff to come. I don't know when. I'm still thinking sectionals time, but we'll see how that goes. All your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. I wanted to share a couple quick news bites with you as well before we head out on the program, and I'm pulling my information here in front of me. Where did it go? Here we go. The Indiana State Police are announcing the Indiana Internet Crimes Against Children statewide youth education initiative. It's designed to reduce cyber victimization of youth between the ages of 8 and 18. Our friend and past guest, Kurt Durnell, put this up on his Facebook page through the Indiana State Police. It says, three specially trained ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children, youth educators are going to be available to present the program in each of Indiana's 92 counties. While its anticipated program request could exceed availability of the youth educators, they are putting together an aggressive plan to provide at least 300 training programs to the target age group by the conclusion of 2016. Past high-profile instances of youth being victimized by sexual predators demanded a proactive program be developed and implemented in an effort to inoculate youth against such acts. This is from a press release from the Indiana State Police. There are 61 ICAC task forces in the United States, and the Indiana ICAC task force is the first to have full-time youth educators. Each youth educator will work within the structure of the task force with presentations specifically designed to prevent victimization of children in a variety of areas. So watch for this in your schools, and you may be hearing about this from your teachers or educators, these programs. And I'm going to try and get Kurt on in the next few weeks to talk about this as well and how this all works. When you've got little kids, I mean, I know a lot of families or a lot of parents, and this is not a poke at anybody, but a lot of them hand over their phones or their iPads to their kids while they're playing, while they're riding in the car, whatever the case may be. And usually that's pretty much okay. But by the same token, once kids get a little bit older and they start downloading apps and start looking for different things, all of a sudden you may not always know what's available out there. And unfortunately, there are a lot of app manufacturers who make things to hide things from parents and guardians and such. And so this is a great opportunity to really talk about awareness and the importance of protecting yourself, protecting your kids from online predators. So kudos to Kurt Durnell and the crew at Indiana State Police, and hopefully we'll get some more information on that in the next couple of weeks. Again, thanks to Skip Chambers and Michael Carter for joining us here tonight. We'll put all of their information up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and, of course, WGCLRadio.com. And finally, a quick note to say a sad goodbye to my great uncle, Bud Powell, who passed away earlier this week. Wonderful local businessman. He and my great aunt Myra owned Waffle House for a number of years, and he worked with Ralph Rogers for a long time. Great family. My sympathies to my cousins Eric and Deb, and a lot of people were at the funeral home this week and paying their respects, and that means a lot in those kinds of times. So on that note, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.